Chapter 5, Let Freedom Ring. There was strong anti-slavery sentiment among New Bedford Quakers. Many prominent families supported abolitionist causes, and some were actively involved in the Underground Railroad. Charles Wall Morgan noted that New Bedford was one of the greatest asylums of the fugitives. African Americans have had a presence in New Bedford since its early days. Runaway and freed slaves were attracted by the Quaker majority's early opposition to slavery in 1716 and the prospect of employment on whale ships. Free seamen from continental Africa, Cabo Verde, and the Caribbean became integral to the heritage of New Bedford. Blacks served among the crews of whale ships before the American Revolution. Some were runaway slaves, including Crispus Attucks, who spent 20 years as a whaler and merchant seaman before he was killed in the Boston Massacre in 1770, or John Thompson from Maryland, who found safe haven on the New Bedford bark Millwood on its 1842-44 voyage. It is known that more than 3,000 African Americans served on New Bedford whalers between 1803 and 1860. Quaker beliefs supported an abolitionist ideal that created opportunities not available to African Americans in other industries. Absalom Boston, Pardon Cook, and Paul Cuffey were three notable African American whaling masters. Following the Civil War, when coal and petroleum began to affect demand for whale oil, and investors moved on to more lucrative businesses, the whale fisheries fell on hard times. This presented a unique opportunity for people of color, who took on greater roles and responsibility. Many became boat steerers, harpooners, and deck officers. Some even ascended to captains and ship owners. In 1838, two Quakers, Joseph Ricketson Sr. and William C. Tabor, met Frederick Douglass, a young escaped slave, and his wife at Newport, and transported them to New Bedford. Douglass boarded in the house of Nathan and Polly Johnson, Black abolitionists known to have sheltered other escapees in their home on 7th Street. Yep. Many anti-slavery lectures were held at Liberty Hall, which stood at William and Purchase Streets. William Lloyd Garrison, Charles Lennox Rummond, Lucy Stone, William Wells Brown, Wendell Phillips, and Frederick Douglass presented there to overflowing audiences. Abraham Lincoln also spoke there as a young congressman in 1848. Other groups, including the Young Men's Anti-Slavery Society, also sponsored abolitionist programs and speakers. A painting by abolitionist William Allen Wall is purportedly a response to the Refugee Act of 1850, empowering authorities to return escaped slaves to their masters. A bell atop Liberty Hall once rang as a warning to any within earshot that approaching marshals were in search of fugitive slaves. The bell, sounded per order of abolitionist and future Mayor Rodney French, became known as New Bedford's Liberty Bell. A great fire in 1854 destroyed the hall and the bell, but its molten remains were collected from the ruins and made into miniature bells as commemoratives of New Bedford's sacred relic. Today, the site holds a piece of the melted bell ensconced on a tablet where the hall once stood. New Bedford was a recruiting site for the famous 54th Regiment Massachusetts Volunteer Infantry, the first African-American regiment to be commissioned. 50 New Bedford men of color enlisted in the 54th and the 55th. One recruit, 23-year-old Sergeant William H. Kearney, Jr., became the first African-American to receive the Congressional Medal of Honor in 1900 for bravery during the 1863 assault on Fort Wagner. Sergeant Kearney had caught the colors and carried them forward when the regimental color bearer fell wounded. Though Kearney was severely injured himself, upon reaching safety, he is said to have declared, "Boys, I did my duty. The dear old flag never touched the ground." Chapter 5, Profile of Captain Paul Cuffey. Paul Cuffey, 1759 to 1817, is a remarkable historic figure of the old Dartmouth region. The son of an enslaved African and also of Native American descent, he became the first American capitalist entrepreneur of African and Native American ancestry. Beginning in the 1770s with his brothers, he built small boats, made short whaling cruises, and studied navigation and seamanship. He worked up to successively larger vessels and longer voyages until he emerged as an important whaling captain, merchant, and ship owner in Westport, Massachusetts. Like many Americans of color, Cuffy found maritime life provided opportunities unavailable elsewhere. Yet, while black mariners were common, black entrepreneurs in the maritime trades were rare. Cuffy not only succeeded on board, but transferred that success to land, where he was fully engaged with the most prominent Quaker merchants of New Bedford and Philadelphia, and even overseas. Cuffy was a much-respected shipowner, sea captain, and merchant, who also successfully contributed to a growing abolitionist movement in antebellum America. He was also one of the first Americans to promote the repatriation of African Americans to Africa, the first to establish a racially integrated school, and the first person of color to advise the sitting president, James Madison. Chapter 5, Profile of Frederick Douglass. Fiery orator, author, freedom fighter, and champion of abolition and women's rights at the time of the Civil War, Frederick Augustus Washington Bailey, also known as Frederick Douglass, 1818 to 1895, was born the son of a slave woman and an unknown white man in Maryland. He escaped slavery and settled in New Bedford from 1838 to 1841. An exceptionally talented and intelligent person, he persevered in the face of disaster and learned to read and write, a notable achievement for a black boy in the antebellum South. At the age of 20, disguised as a sailor with clothing provided by his laundress friend, Anna Murray, he fled the South by rail and steamboat and arrived in New York in September 1838. There he met up once again with Anna Murray, a free black woman from Baltimore, who had greatly assisted him in his education, as well as his escape from the South. The couple were married in New York. Shortly thereafter, they left New York and landed in Newport, Rhode Island. There they fortuitously met two New Bedford Quakers, merchant Joseph Ricketson and bookseller William C. Tabor, who, perceiving their situation, opened the doors to the New Bedford stagecoach, saying, "The get in." Thus Frederick and Anna came to New Bedford, at the time a significant destination for the Underground Railroad. Here they adopted the last name Douglass, and each began their lives as ardent abolitionists. While in New Bedford, they stayed at the home of the free black Quaker couple, Nathan and Mary Polly Johnson, located at 21 7th Street, and Douglass quickly became acquainted with the abolitionist newspaper, The Liberator, edited by William Lloyd Garrison. He actually heard Garrison speak in New Bedford and said that he listened to his mighty words, mighty in truth. The experience strengthened Douglass's resolve to work toward the ultimate freedom of my race. Soon thereafter, Douglass heard Garrison speak again, this time on Nantucket Island. From there, Douglass was recruited as a spokesman for the Massachusetts Anti-Slavery Society, a move that launched his career as one of the great orators of his time.